This is the final day of 2017. And a new year is about to begin, the year 2018. Now, I wonder if you were given the opportunity to relive 2017. I'm sure there are probably things that you would do differently. And why is that? The reason is because we fail. The fact is that you and I are going to fail quite often in life because nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes. We all have setbacks and problems and defeats and, of course, losses. Some of you have faced those losses this year. And as we begin a new year, 2018, let's look this morning at God's way of making a fresh start. Regardless of what happened in 2017, as Lindsay reminded us, it is now bereft of life. Isaiah 43 and verses 18 and 19. The Lord says, "Forget what has happened before. Do not think about the past. Instead, look at the new thing I am going to do. If you don't get anything else today, I want you to get this. God is far more interested in your future than he is in your past." He says, "Forget the past. Look at the new things I am going to do in your life specifically." Today I want us to look at how to make a fresh start in 2018. And we are going to look at the word start and see what we learn from that. In 2017, you may have had financial, relational, marital, and even moral failure. You may have really blown it and made some decisions that you are sitting here this morning feeling very ashamed of. Regardless of the failure you've had, here's how you start over. So let's take the word start. The first letter is S. And to make a new start, you have got to stop making excuses. Stop blaming other people. Stop making rationalizations. I've got to stop seeing myself as the victim of my circumstances. Let me be clear on this. Other people can harm you, hurt you, and scar you. There's no doubt about that. But nobody can ruin your life without your permission. You have a choice, and you can choose how you are going to respond to those hurts that come your way in life. The starting point is to be honest and accept my responsibility for the part of the problem that it falls on me. Proverbs 28 and verse 13 says this: "A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance." He gets a fresh start. But the starting point is to be honest and to face up to the fact that most of my problems and failures are my fault. Now that's hard for us to accept because we are a people who like to pass the buck. We live in a society that loves to just shift the blame. We blame the environment. We blame the economy, the government, our parents, and goodness me, even the weather. It's always somebody or something else's fault. But God says, most of the failures in your life, you caused yourself. Now, let me give you three of the most common causes of failure in life so you can avoid them in 2018. One reason we fail in life is because we don't plan ahead. We make decisions and don't look at the consequences. Proverbs 20 and verse 7. "A sensible man watches for problems and prepares to meet them. But the fool never looks ahead and suffers the consequences. Was it raining when Noah started to build the ark? No. He had to plan ahead. And in fact, it didn't rain from the time he started building till he completed for 120 years. That's how long it took him to build the ark. Several times, Jesus talked to his disciples and others about the importance of planning. He said there was once a guy who started to build a tower but couldn't finish it because he never had enough money. He hadn't planned ahead. He also talked about a king who went out to battle and didn't have sufficient soldiers because he hadn't planned ahead. It's the old cliche. If you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. The second reason is we don't listen to others. We don't listen to good advice when it is offered to us. Proverbs 15 and verse 22. Plans fail without good advice. You need to get all the advice you can. Now, why don't we listen to the advice of other people? Because we think we don't need it. It's called pride. Ego. You know what ego stands for? Edging God out. When you think you know more than God and you push him out of your life and you're on an ego trip, and that ego trip invariably leads to a dead end. The Bible says pride always leads to destruction. An arrogant attitude leads to a fall. When I think it, I know it all. When I think I can figure it out by myself, I'm setting myself up for failure. You're never going to get anywhere if you think you've already arrived. The guy who gets too big for his boots will eventually be exposed. That's the problem with pride. And then the third common cause is we give up too soon. Proverbs 24 and verse 10. If you give up when trouble comes, it just shows you are weak. Isn't the word of God very direct? Failure is the path of least persistence. The problem is we often give up during trying times and we simply stop trying. We quit. If at first you don't succeed, welcome to the human race. You're normal. Very few people succeed at the first attempt. Often we give up just when success is right around the corner. You're never a failure until you give up. You know, over the course of history, there have been some world-class failures. There was a general, there was a general who lost two-thirds of all the battles he fought in the American Revolution. You know what his name was? George Washington. You know what he did? He won the war. There was another guy who graduated 42nd out of a class of 43. Then he went out and conquered Europe. And his name was Napoleon. There was a man who lost almost every election he ran for, something like 10 or 12 of them, until finally he was elected as president. And his name was Abraham Lincoln. He lost more than he won. What about Edison? Edison tried over 200 different elements before he figured out what was the right element for the light bulb. I have discovered that people who are very good at making excuses are rarely any good at anything else. They spend their energy thinking up reasons why they can't do what they are supposed to do. So stop making excuses. Then T, take stock of my life. That means I need to start evaluating my experiences. Look at what I have left after failure. If I've had financial failure, I need to take stock of the finances that I have left. If I've had relational failure, I need to take stock of what relationships I have left. If I've had a moral failure, I need to stop and ask God, what is He still planning to do in my life? What are the options? If you want to make a fresh start in 2018, you need to sit down and do an evaluation of your life. And take stock of your experiences, regardless of what has happened in this year, 2017. One of the things you still have today that you didn't have throughout this year, possibly, is more experience. God wants you to use those experiences that you've had during this year and even last year to learn from them and capitalize on them. Galatians 3 and verse 4. You have experienced many things. Were all those experiences wasted? I hope not. God uses four kinds of experiences in our lives. He uses vocational and, well, He first of all uses personal experiences. The family you grew up in. The people you relate to. For instance, if you're married, your husband or your wife, He uses personal experiences in your day-to-day life to shape you. He also uses vocational and educational experiences to shape your life. He uses spiritual experiences to shape you. In coming to church, in reading God's Word, in having a daily quiet time, He uses those spiritual experiences to shape you. And most important of all, as many of you, and myself included, can testify to, He uses painful experiences to shape you. As you take stock of your life, in starting over, you need to ask yourself three questions. Number one, what have I learned? I know people who may be 40, 50, or even 60 years old. But they don't have 40, 50, or 60 years of experience. They've had the same year of experience 20, 30, 40 times over. They've never learned anything. And so I ask you, what did you learn from 2017? If you don't sit down and think it through, you're probably going to go into 2018 and make the same mistakes next year because you didn't learn from it this year. Next, what are my assets? What have I got going for me? Have I got my health, my freedom? Am I still mentally sound? Some of you might question that with me, but anyway. Have I got some friends? Have I got the Lord and a church family? What have I got that I can count on? And then thirdly, who can help me? When you need a fresh start, you need somebody by your side. A friend, an accountability partner. Somebody to walk the road with you. A support group. That's why we try to encourage people in this church to be a part of a small group. You need other people because you don't start over by yourself after a major failure. You need someone else to walk alongside you, supporting you and encouraging you and praying for you. Every time you take stock of your life, you have in your brain the way God's made you, a personal referral system. This is the database of every experience that you've ever had. Every time you see something or hear something, you immediately evaluate it by what is in your cranium already. You say, does this square up with my past experiences? If it does, you can accept it as true. If it doesn't, you don't believe it. For instance, if I were to say to you, crime doesn't pay, you filter that through your mind and you think, yes, according to my experiences, I have often found out that crime doesn't pay. I agree with that. Another person might say, no, I found out from my experience that crime does pay. So depending on your experience, you accept this as true or false. You filter it through your personal referral system of your experiences. Now, when you're making a fresh start, you need to realize that some of your experiences have very faulty information. They are lies. Not everything you have seen or heard or experienced is necessarily true. You can have false memories and you can believe many false things. Do people ever tell you things that aren't true? Of course they do. Every day on our television. The problem is that some of us store them. When you were young and impressionable, we tended to accept what other people said about us. Someone said to me as a boy in school, Ratha, you will never amount to anything. They're probably right. But God had other plans. And you think, yes, I'm never going to amount to anything. Impressionable young people allow other people to influence their self-image. You may be 30, 40, 50, or even older. And some of you are still playing back in your mind the memories made when you were in grade one. It wasn't true then, and it's certainly not true now. But you're still acting like it is. You need to challenge the experiences and what you believe sometimes. You need to hold it up against the truth of God's word and say, this is what God says about me. It doesn't matter what other people say about me. Just because you have seen something doesn't necessarily mean it is true. You've heard the phrase, I'll believe it when I see it. You can believe a lie. Today, with what we know as virtual reality, I could make you see all kinds of things that simply just aren't true. Just because you see something doesn't mean it is true. You can have a false experience. That's why you must, it's imperative that you build your life not on experience only, but on God's word, because that is the truth. It is unchanging. You need to take stock of your experiences. Then, A, you need to act in faith. Act in faith. You have to launch out into new territory in 2018. The Bible says the key to changing anything is faith. If you want to change your circumstances, it takes faith. If you want to change your personality, it takes faith. Jesus said in Matthew 9 and verse 29, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Now, this is a very simple but extremely powerful statement that Jesus made. That means we tend to get out of life what we expect. What are you expecting for 2018? The same old, same old? Nothing's going to change? Well, guess what? Nothing is going to change then in your life, if that's what you're expecting. We tend to get out of life what we expect, because according to your faith, it will be done to you. The person who says, I can't, and the person who says, I can, are both right. So you need to start expecting more. Start expecting more of yourself and more from God. That's the principle of faith. To start acting in faith means you've got to stop having a pity party. Of course, life is unfair. God never said it was going to be fair. But you have to go on with life anyway. The more you regret what's happened in 2017, the more you're going to waste 2018. The way you set yourself up for failure is by focusing on past failures. Whatever you focus on, you tend to reproduce in your life. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. What you need to do is to learn from your past failures. Every successful entrepreneur knows that real success is often built on the back of failure. You figure out what doesn't work. When Edison figured out on the 200th time what would make a light bulb, he did that because he knew 199 things that didn't work. Don't call it a failure. Call it an education. You learn from it. Some of you know lots of things that don't work in your marriage, that don't work in your personal life or in your career. You know lots of ways that don't work in raising your children. That's okay. Build on that. You rarely get it right on the first attempt. God wants to get on with your future. Proverbs 16 and verse 9. We should make our plans counting on God to direct us. Have you started making any plans yet for 2018? When are you going to get around to it if you haven't? In March? Some of you are probably still planning 2017. It's over. The door is closed. It is bereft of life. Kaput. You're going to go through the next year, either by design or by default. That means you're either going to have a plan or you're going to let other people plan your life for you. And you're going to drift through life. Is that what you really want? People just drift through life because they simply do not have a plan. God says we should make plans, counting on God to direct us. Have you ever realized that when you are making or setting goals, you are doing a faith activity? Goals, you see, are a statement of faith. A dream is simply a goal with a deadline. A dream is simply a goal with a deadline. You need to set some goals for your life in 2018. Personal goals, family goals, every other kind of goal in your life. Have a number of them. The point is, do you have something to head toward so that your life has direction in 2018? Why is it that some people spend more time planning a party than they do planning their life? There are guys who spend months making a business plan, but never make a plan for life. Why? Most times it's because of a fear of failure. If I set a goal and I don't reach it, and I announce that to other people, and then I'm going to look like a fool. Failure is not failing to reach your goal. Failure is not setting a goal in the first place. Fear of failure is far, far worse than failure itself. Failure is getting up, dusting yourself off, and starting again. Fear of failure locks you in a self-imposed prison that is constantly saying, what if? What if? How do you get rid of the fear of failure? Well, we come back to it. Faith. That's why the third step in starting over is act in faith. Faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is doing the thing you fear most despite your feelings. You know, Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt after a 400-year bondage. They've been set free. And as they make their way out, they come to the Red Sea. Now picture the scene. They arrive there. Pharaoh's changed his mind. He sends his army after them. They get to the Red Sea. There are mountains on each side that they cannot go over. The Red Sea is in front of them, and Pharaoh's army is hot in pursuit. The only way they'll be saved is to somehow get through the Red Sea. Then God says, I'll tell you what. I'll just open it up and you walk through it. Now, I've often thought, would you like to have been the first person to walk through it? I mean, you get out about a kilometer or so, and then you start wondering, what if these walls of water fall down? It's a long way back to the shore. I want to tell you something. You are going to have some Red Sea problems in 2018. You're going to say, well, let's go around it, or let's go over it, or let's try and go under it. And God says, no, I am not going to remove the problem. I'm going to take you through it. Act in faith and keep walking, and He'll take you through that Red Sea problem of your life. Where do you need to take or start taking the steps of faith to begin a new 2018? There's one thing that will keep you from acting in faith in 2018. It is worrying what other people think. The Bible says that it's a trap. The Bible says the fear of man is a snare. And you're not going to do what God wants you to do. You're going to rather start doing what is convenient, what everyone else is doing. You need to step out in faith. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. Being afraid of people can get you into trouble. Don't make that mistake in 2018. Right now, R. Refocus my thoughts. Rethink the way you think. I need to change my mind about a whole number of issues. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. The way you think determines the way you feel. And the way you feel very often determines the way you act. If you want to change your action, you don't just exert your willpower trying to change. Just change the way you think. Don't ever try to simply change your feelings, because you can't force feeling to change. It's like you spank a child and then you say, now, I want you to be happy. You can't force a feeling. You must go in the back door by changing your actions and your thoughts, and that begins to change the feelings. The Bible says in Romans 12, be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, the way you think. Which memories of 2017 are you still going to be rehearsing in 2018? The Bible says, let go of those things. There are things, yes, that you may regret, that you're ashamed of, mistakes, failures, bad decisions. But every time you rehearse them, you are just reinforcing them in your mind. Your past is past. The book is closed. The door is shut. The past cannot hurt you anymore unless you choose to let it do so. Change your mind. Get rid of those painful, hurtful memories of shame and guilt and other things. Now, how do you do that? Well, first of all, is confession. You may say, well, you know, Mike, I have confessed to God, but I still feel guilty. How do I get rid of that painful memory? Well, I'll tell you. Not by resisting it, but by replacing it. Stop focusing on what you don't want and start focusing on what you do want. Get your attention onto something else. Refocus on something else. What's the best thing to focus on? Well, I'll tell you, it's the truth of God's Word, the Bible. Psalm 1, verse 1-3. Happy are those who are always meditating on God's Word. They're like trees along a river that do not dry up. They succeed in everything they do. We all want to be happy, don't we? We all want to succeed. The way we get those is in that phrase right in the middle of that verse. Meditating on God's Word. The more you meditate on God's Word, the happier and more successful you are going to be. That's not what I'm just saying. That is a promise from God Himself. What does it mean to meditate? That's not sitting in a circle looking at the lint in your navel. Meditation is nothing mystical or super spiritual. The dictionary meaning is simply this: to focus on, to concentrate, to think about something over and over in your mind. You do it all the time. Let me ask you, do you know how to worry? Most of you will say, oh yes. Then you are already a pro at meditating. That's what you're doing. When you take a fear or a negative idea and you think about it over and over and over again, we call that worry. When you take a verse of Scripture from God's Word and you start thinking about it over and over and over again, we call that meditating. As you fill your mind with God's Word, it begins to change your mind. You begin to see yourself as God sees you. That's where the change takes place. That's where the power is to start over again. Only Jesus Christ can help you get a fresh start. When I read my Bible, I find many stories recorded in the Bible about people who were murderers, adulterers, liars, cheats, total failures, doing all kinds of despicable things. And Jesus Christ gave every one of them a fresh start. Regardless of the failures you've had in 2017 or even prior to that, There is hope. And it's never too late to start over. You are never a failure until you give up. Jesus Christ said you matter to Him, and He can make the rest of your life work out in a different way if you will simply give Him the pieces of your life. He will exchange His peace for your pieces of a broken life. You know, I love Jonah. I've always loved Jonah since I was a little guy. You know, the idea of a fish gobbling up some guy and then puking him out. That really impressed me. God told Jonah to go in one direction and to do something specific. But Jonah decided to do the exact opposite. So God had to take him on a little Mediterranean cruise. After that cruise was over, Jonah, in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1, it says this, "And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." Aren't you glad that we serve the God of the second chance and the third and the fourth and the 25th and the 100th chance? He is the God of grace who says, come to me with your brokenness, your failures, your shame, your guilt, and all the messed up things you've done, and I can turn them around because I love you and I made you for a purpose, and that purpose has never changed. So finally, T, trust God to help me succeed. Depend on Him, not on yourself. You've already proven that you can't do it on your own. That's why you failed. Some people, you see, they just don't get it. They stumble and fall, and then they get up and they say, well, I'm just going to try harder. You know what? It's like going up to a wall and banging your head against the wall, but the wall doesn't fall down. So you try it again. And you keep on thinking as you bash your skull against the wall, maybe it'll fall down this time. That's the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Then thinking, why doesn't this change? Because you can't change on your own. Some people just don't get it. When they stumble and fall, they just try harder. Make some new resolutions on New Year's Day. But power alone won't do it. Willpower. You don't get a fresh start by trying, but by trusting. Zechariah 4 and verse 7. You will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The secret to success is not by trying, but by trusting in starting over. Would you like to simply wipe the slate clean and make a fresh start? Look at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. When someone becomes a Christian and trusts his life to Jesus Christ, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. God specializes in new beginnings. Jesus Christ has the power to do that. And it's what we call being born again into a new life spiritually. It just means the chance to start over again. God says, I don't want you to turn over a new leaf. I'm giving you a whole new life. How does God turn a minus into a plus? He takes a minus And he turns it into a positive by making it a cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross for everything you ever felt bad about. He was crucified so that you could stop crucifying yourself for past failures. That's called grace. You say, but Mike, I have wasted so many years. You know what the Lord says in Joel? I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. In Isaiah, he says, I will give you beauty for ashes, the ashes of your ruined life. This new year, about to begin in a couple of hours' time, 2018, let's together, as a church family and as individuals, ask Jesus Christ to help us make a fresh start. Let's do that. Let's pray together. Dear Father, only you fully know the hurt in our hearts this morning. You've seen us stumble and fall and fail. You know all the things we're ashamed of. And today, as we stand on the threshold of a new year, I ask you to give us all a fresh start. Help us to take stock of all the good that you have brought into our lives. Help us to learn from our experiences in the past. And today we want to start acting in faith, believing what you have told us and promised us in your word. Help us to focus on you and your precious word to us. We want to trust you to give us the power to start over and to do the right thing from here on out. And it's in your name that we pray this, the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.